Good morning, everybody. All right. Give me a minute. I need some coffee. No, seriously, like I pulled a very late night, and then a little boy that I know started going, ooh, at 5:30 in the morning and thumping his foot, so I'm pooped. And to make it worse, is I've got all this list of chores that have to get done. I mean, I've got to get the dishes done. I've got to vacuum. I've got to unpack. I've got so much to do. But by the time I get out of church, I'm going to feel completely worthless. You know what? Talking about worth, you know what I found today? I'm super excited. Can anyone tell me what this is? Money. Is this a little bit of money or a lot of money? I found a $20 bill. I like it. It's so nice and crisp. Do you think this is valuable? Is this worth something? Okay. Okay, now, would anyone want this $20 bill if I decided to give it? But it's not crisp anymore. I just crumpled it up. I stomped on it. Is it still worth anything? What if... Oops, I spilled my coffee on it. Ooh, clumsy me. Is this still worth anything? So you guys would still want it. I've crumbled it up. I've stomped on it. You still want it? What if I dug a hole and put it in the ground and walked away from it? Would anyone be digging it up after me? Yeah, are you sure? All this stuff is not taking away its worth? All right, I gotcha. Hang on. I'm going to make this worthless. All right, I completely destroyed it, right? No one wants it anymore, right? Oh. So even though that $20 bill has been through a lot, it still hasn't lost its value or its worth, right? All right. I need a helper to come up. Come here, Sophie. Sophie, you normally wear a really pretty church dress. I actually picked this dress because I was thinking about you. I just knew you'd be wearing a Christmas dress today. You're not wearing a Christmas dress. Let me see. Oh my goodness, were you outside playing in the dirt before church? Oh my, okay. Parental notification. There's got to, who is the responsible adult for this? Peter. Now, what would Casey say about all this? But is she your daughter? Does the fact that she's not wearing a church dress change how you feel about her?
No.
And if she was outside rolling around in the dirt and she's absolutely filthy, is she any less valuable to you?
Not at all.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for being such a good helper. So, money has value. We have value to our families. But sometimes, that's sometimes easy to believe. But sometimes we struggle with our value to God. See, on the inside, we feel like sometimes that God is so far away from us, so big and so awesome, that we couldn't possibly be valuable to God. Maybe we've made some bad choices and we feel like we're constantly doing the wrong thing. And the harder we try, the more messes we make and the more mistakes we make. I can't do anything right. I feel bruised, bumped, broken. I couldn't possibly be valuable to God if I feel like this. Well, if we have questions like that, where do we turn? The B-I-B-L-E. The Bible, Romans 5 and 8, says, "But God declared his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us." So we're born with sin. And when we have sin in our lives, we probably look all beat up and burned and torn and ripped, right? But even while we look like that on the inside, God says, "I love you so much, I'm going to die for you." But it didn't just stop there, because, well, if Jesus died on a cross a long time ago and I never got to meet him, I still sometimes doubt my value to Jesus, right? Anyone else? So let's go to Psalm 147. Oh. Right here. Oh, the Bible says that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. But he doesn't just stop there. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new." So we're so valuable to God that even though we look like a mess, he died for us. But not only that, he sees our boo-boos and he heals them. But he doesn't just leave. Has anyone ever broken an arm or a foot? And so even though it heals, there's still some days that it still can bother you if the weather's just right. God doesn't leave us like that. Do you know what? When he fills us with the Holy Ghost and we get baptized in Jesus' name, we're not just a bunch of band-aided up boo-boos. He says, "Hey, and you know what he gives us instead? He gives us a brand new heart. He makes us a new creature. And you know what? When we're baptized in Jesus' name, he seals us with his promise. So we might have bumps and bruises, but has anyone seen a dry erase board? You write on it with a dry erase marker and you just wipe it off. That's like the seal of Jesus on our lives when we get the Holy Ghost and we get baptized in his name. So that if we do have bumps and bruises, we don't have to worry that we're going to look like this again. When we say, I'm sorry, Jesus, I messed up, he just wipes it away like a dry erase marker. I have one more scripture. 1 Peter. Two and nine. But you, I want everyone to raise their hand. So if I say you, you say me. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people. We might have started out looking like this, but that's not our value. We are chosen and special to God. And if we give him the opportunity, he won't leave us like this. If there's things going on in the world or at home or in our lives that we don't understand and that we start to wonder how valuable we are to God, God doesn't see this. If you call out to him, this is what he sees. Let's all just stand real quick and thank God for the value that he sees in us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, wonderful Savior, for the value that you've given us and the fact that your love for us is not diminished by our choices or the things that are going on in our life. Thank you, Jesus, that we are valuable to you. Amen.
your voice and help me say, no more shackles and no more chains, no more bondage, I am free, yeah. Lift your voice and help me say it,
no more shackles, no more chains.
Gospel Church, who's ready to praise the Lord this morning? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. If you could all stand with us. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Savior, come let us adore the one. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands again and worship Him. He is worthy. Let us adore Him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We want to welcome everyone to Calvary Gospel Church. We're glad that you're with us, whether you're here online or whether you're here in person. We'd like to encourage you, if you're a guest of ours, to take advantage of the connection card that you can get at the kiosk, or you can do it online as well if you follow the prompts there. We thank you again for being with us. You can be seated. This is a special time of year, and it's good to be with the family of God. Hopefully you'll be able to spend some time with your family members or someone dear to you during this Christmas season. We want to take a few moments of our time. Today is the official offering date for Christmas for Christ, our annual fundraiser for North American Missions, which is used to promote and support the planting of new churches all across the North American continent. So if we can run that video.
Hi, this is Joe Hanthorn, pastor of Christian Life Church in Mequon, Wisconsin. I'm also privileged to serve as the Wisconsin District North American Missions Director. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas. I'd also like to take just a moment and talk to you a little bit about North American Missions, and more specifically about Christmas for Christ. The purpose of North American Missions is to train, fund, and send church planters into unchurched cities and communities all over North America. For 54 years, Christmas for Christ has been a key component in supporting, enhancing, and making that vision possible for the United Pentecostal Church. Christmas for Christ began under the leadership of Jack Yount Sr., right here in the Wisconsin District. Began with a conviction that we should give our best gift every year to Jesus. Since that time, Christmas for Christ has been a valuable resource to church planters all over our nation and in Canada. It has allowed them to access grants, personal grants that help them with income. It has also allowed them to obtain assistance for renting buildings. It has also provided land grants for the purchase of property or a building or perhaps the renovation of a small church that they're currently occupying. It has also, at times, provided emergency resources for pastors who are struggling. This kind of financial assistance can be a godsend for a church planter. It truly can be the difference between thriving and surviving. It can be a source of encouragement when they are facing tremendous burnout. Times when they feel like they are all alone in the mission and they receive a Christmas for Christ grant, it reminds them that they're not alone in this endeavor, but in fact, they are co-missioned with the entire body of Christ. What a tremendous privilege and opportunity you and I have every year to invest in men and women who are willing to go into unchurched communities and to reach the lost. And of course, there is no way to calculate the kind of impact that these churches and these church planters have on eternity. The families that are changed, the people that are baptized, the Bible studies that are received, the training that goes forth to future ministers, all of this is incalculable. And all of this is made possible because men and women choose to invest in those who are planting churches. Here in Wisconsin, we are privileged to have 8 great church planters. I'm honored as a Wisconsin NAM director to be able to work with these men and women, people like the Durnfords, the Zimmermans, the Camsels, the Adams, the Welkies, the Thomases, the O'Boyles, and the Shinkies. These are men and women who have felt the call of God to either start a church or to take a church plant and to accomplish the purpose of God for that city. I'll never forget hearing one time a man of God said that the hope of every city is a local church. And I truly believe that if we want to save a city, we have to start a church. These men and women have done just that. I think it behooves us this year at Christmas time to choose very intentionally to stand with them, to let them know that they are not alone in this effort. Our theme this year for Wisconsin District North American Missions is that no church planter stands alone. We want them to be both encouraged and resourced by the Wisconsin District. And I think we can do that through our Christmas for Christ giving. I believe that it is God-honoring for us to choose to bless our church planters in this hour by making sure that the resources are available to them. God bless you. I thank you, and Merry Christmas.
As you can see, Christmas for Christ is a worthy cause. And as you heard, some of these funds will almost certainly be returned to help the Thomases in their work in Stoughton, both from the national and the international level, so in the local level. So please take this into account. Today's the official offering date. As I said, you can give online. When you give in our offering, you can give online. Visit cgcmadison.org/giving. That's for, and you can text 608-719-3883, and you can also give by snail mail. Of course, those of you that are here in person, you can give in the box that's out in the vestibule in the foyer, and there are envelopes out there with amounts printed on them that you can choose. If you're not ready or prepared to give today, you can take those as a reminder, or you can take them and put that amount in the envelope at this time and turn that envelope in. You don't have to use those envelopes, but it's a great way to remind yourself of the pledge, the commitment that you've made for yourself. We'll have a little time after Christmas before we have to send the offering in, so if you need a little time yet, you can bring back the envelope and in the next week or two and still be part of this great offering. And again, you would need to designate in the offering that would be CFC, and any other offerings that you give, we want you to designate that as tithes, offering, or special speaker. Praise God. Our Christmas schedule. There will be no Wednesday evening service this week, but we will come together on Thursday, Christmas Eve, at 5 p.m., for a shortened version of our service to celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve. So please remember that, Thursday evening, 5 o'clock. And then for New Year's Eve, we will have no service here except Voces Unidas, our bilingual Spanish and English church, will be having a New Year's Eve service at 7 p.m., and everyone is welcome to attend that at that time. Let's stand again. We want to pray. Amen. There are so many needs here in the body of Christ, those that are recovering from COVID and other illnesses, family issues that always seem to come up this time of year. Our nation, our state, our county is hurting. And just like we saw in the children's presentation, we have the balm that heals. We have the blessing that this world needs. So let's pray for our brothers and sisters, but let's pray for our nation, for our state, for our county, for your community. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for your presence in our lives. We thank you, God, that you are faithful and that you never leave us or forsake us. Anoint this people, anoint this church, anoint each of us, I pray, oh God, so that we can minister to one another and minister to the lost and the hurting in the world all around us. We pray for this rest of this service, that your anointing would be upon our worship, that we may honor you, that we may bless one another. And we pray especially for our pastor, for your anointing upon him as he brings us the word of God. We give all of this, we surrender all of this to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. I got them. There we go. I picked up the wrong mic there, brother. Sorry. Praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you this morning. If you could just stand to your feet, if you're not standing, if you could just turn and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 21. And while you're turning in Luke 21, I just want to, if you're a guest of ours here, it's so great to have you here today. And if you're watching online and you're a guest, it's so great to have you. It's great to see all of you here today. We have a relatively as full of a house as we can get. So great to see all of you. And I trust that things are going well in your family, in your household. We started a series on Wednesday evening, and it's a rather humorous, I guess, title or unusual title to this series. And we'll get into that here in a minute. But Luke chapter 21, we're going to start reading. I had down for the overhead chapter 9 or verse 19, but I want to start at 17. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, and there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And let them which are in Judah flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. You have kind of a bleak passage of scripture here. And right kind of sandwiched in the middle of this bleak passage of scripture seems to be a verse that doesn't really fit in with the rest of the bleakness. And that's verse number 19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. You could be seated this morning. It's kind of struck me as a little odd till I looked up exactly what that verse, what was Jesus trying to tell me? See, the Bible is written to me as a person, an individual, and I hope and trust that you believe the Bible was written to you as an individual. I like to personalize my relationship with God. I like to personalize when I read scripture. I just feel like, okay, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell the rest of the world or the others, but what are you trying to tell me? In your patience, possess ye your souls. What Jesus was trying to say here is by patiently bearing all afflictions, all reproach, indignities, and persecutions, enjoy yourselves. It gets good. Let nothing disturb or distress you. How many of you have felt disturbed or distressed over the last few weeks or months? Or since January of 2020, a lot of us have felt disturbed and distressed. So it says, be patient, bearing all afflictions, reproaches, indignities, and persecutions. Enjoy yourselves. Let nothing disturb or distress you. Possess that peace and joy in your souls, which the world cannot take away. Jesus was trying to tell his disciples, as well as he's trying to tell us, that things may get really, really bad and get nasty. But in all of that badness and all of that nastiness and all of that reproach and all of the indignities and all the persecutions, enjoy yourself. Relax. Don't let this disturb you. Don't let it distress you. I came to give you peace. Peace that the world doesn't understand. A peace that you have never experienced before. And I want to give you joy in your souls. And what I give you, the world cannot take it away. So we started a series on Wednesday night. We'd like to continue with that series if I could here this morning. And we're going to have a Christmas message on Thursday evening, and then we're going to go into the new year, and we're going to kind of pick up where we're leaving off here at the end of today. But the title of this series is You Got to Know When to Hold 'em. Know when to fold 'em. We're talking about dealing with conflict. How do I deal with conflict? Now, I'm a little pressed for time today. We have about 30 minutes. So I'm not going to go into much of a review of Wednesday night. But if you'd like to go online, you can check it out at our website if you wish to get caught up on this. And we begin to discuss how do you deal with a holiday conflict. And this holiday, this year, is much different than any other Christmas that we've ever experienced. This year is much different than any other year we've ever experienced. So continuing this morning, we're going to cover a few more points. But we're going to focus on, we started talking about how to deal with conflict on Wednesday night. And this morning, we're going to talk about patience. So we're going to title this part of our series, Patience, Please. Patience, please. On a warm summer's evening on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with the gambler and we were both too tired to sleep. How many of you have ever heard this read over a pulpit? So we took turns of staring out the window in the darkness, and as the boredom overtook us and he began to speak, he says, "Son, I've made a lifetime out of reading people's faces." Knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. It's a little difficult as a pastor now to read a congregation when all I can see is your eyes, but I'm getting very good at reading eyes. And some of you, if you don't mind me saying, if I can just be a little carnal and spiritual at the same time, I can see you're out of aces. You're running out of options, in other words. And he goes on to say, you've got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. I said this Wednesday evening, you've got to know when to put up, and sometimes you've got to know when to shut up, and you've got to know when to just simply walk away. And there are times when you need to flee and to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Because the COVID-19 quarantine, many families have had much more opportunity to spend time together with one another. That means that in the early morning hours, the family is up and the children are with you as a parent all day long. Husbands, your wives are working from home, and wives, your husbands, some of your husbands are working from home, and some of your husbands have taken over the basement as their office, and I jokingly, we laughed about this. Brother Peter Sandin's office is underneath his stairs at home next to his furnace, and it looks like a little man cave that he's got going in there, and without our permission, without our permission, no one asked me and no one cleared it by me, but I've been handed a new normal. And I'm not so sure that I like my new normal. The control over my life that we thought we had has been gone. It's been absurded. It's been taken from us. And finding patience at home is one of the hardest parts of this quarantine life. And to top it off, our kids have been, by and large, locked indoors. We used to let them go outside and roam the neighborhoods free, but now you have to yell unclean plague, wear a mask, wear a face shield, wear rubber gloves up to your elbows. Kids can't just run around and spit anymore. Neither can adults. You go to the grocery stores and people look at you and they judge you by whether or not you're going to put that mask on before you get into the store, or am I going to have to confront you out here in the parking lot? People have become leery. You drive down the highway and people that maybe perhaps months ago would wave at you because they knew who you were, now they're not quite for sure who you are, because between your ball cap and your mask, they can't see anything but a pair of sunglasses. You look like Billy Gibbons on ZZ Top everywhere you go. Your whole face is covered up. I come in here this morning and Brother Caleb Wells out there in the vestibule. I see a pair of glasses, ball cap, and I see this big beard growing out from underneath his mask. Must be perfect growing conditions underneath those masks for some of our men. Life has changed. And many of us, our families, we've been stuck indoors. The kids are outside. They can't venture beyond their own yard because somebody may die. Our own simmering pot of anxiety and restlessness is slowly reaching a boiling point. Not just in our household, not just in your neighbor's household, but in your community's household. All across the city and across our country, you can feel a tension rising. And I don't know about you, but in years past, but right now, my need for patience. Have you noticed a change of my tone? I'm not angry, but my need for patience grows as my cabin fever increases. It's going to be a long winter, I'm afraid. Truthfully, there's plenty to be impatient about. And we seem to be stuck in this season of never-ending chaos. And people say, just have to wait it out. I've been waiting it out since February. How much longer do I have to wait this thing out? How many of you can relate to what I'm saying here this morning? You see, we're waiting for things to go back to the old normal or for new routines to take root. It takes a long time to change the routine of a family. I look at the routines and how things have changed here at Calvary Gospel Church. Just the day-to-day routines. Everything's changed. The kids, your kids, they have to figure out how to entertain themselves for the first time, perhaps, in their life. They're tired of video games. Their thumbs are worn out. Older people, it affects their lungs. Younger people, their thumbs are blowing out. COVID thumb. Working from home doesn't feel the same way as working, going into an office. That change, that environment. Getting up in the morning, knowing that within an hour, you'll be able to leave that house and those children and the chaos dads. You'll be able to go to McDonald's drive-thru and get your biscuit and your Coke or your coffee, and you'll be able to peacefully drive down the road. But now, it's trying to get all the kids in their rooms for school. get their laptops and their notebooks and all of this stuff opened up. Working from home, it was cool at first, but after 9 months, it's like the pits. And all of this, if your spouse, if my husband just could help out a little bit more, or my wife drives me nuts every morning with her to-do list. I've got to work. You see, our patience, it begins to just, it starts off with just a little bit. Some of you husbands are nudging your wives and wives nudging husbands, so I know I'm talking the truth here, Glenn and Bonnie. Glenn's like, not me. This all builds. And you have to take and somehow adjust and get a grip and have to deal with daily now, daily emotional breakdowns. And I'm sure that as you're sitting here thinking that you could add many, many, many more things to this list, but I'm sure that I can find plenty of reasons in my life yet to be impatient. But how do we find, as a person, as an individual, as a Christian, how do we find patience? And how do we bring peace back into our homes? I must confess today that many, 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 most of the time, I can often justify my own impatience. Husbands, so often our wives will bear the brunt of our lack of patience and our struggle for patience. We seem to have less patience. Hear me, okay? I've been married 39 years and I've learned a few things. I seem to have less patience with my wife than with any other person on the planet. Now, don't sit there and look at me that way, husbands and wives, because you are thinking the same thing. Do not add lying to your problem today. You love that woman dearly, and you would do anything for her, but there are times she gets on your nerves. Same thing with the wives. Wives, you love that husband. He does so many sweet things for you, but there are times that you would just wish your foot was big enough. Hey, do you know what I'm talking about? All of this, but you see, we seem to have less patience with our closest friend, but also our most staunch ally. So what do we do with all of that pent-up frustration? We can't just, the wife says, go hang out with the guys. I can't. Bob, he won't let anybody in his garage now because he doesn't want it. It's got to be sterile. Going into his garage, it's like you're going into a hospital, intensive care ward. His tools are all wrapped. Doesn't want anybody to touch anything. Can't go over to Glenn's house anymore because Bonnie won't let anybody outside the family in. I don't know what I'm going to do. And your wife's like, just please, please just go somewhere. You find yourself fumbling through stuff at Menards again. How do we foster real patience at home? Can I just, very simple, number one point here this morning. It's so simple. All you have to do is ask. To be honest, I'm the least patient with my family and those closest to me. Most of us are the same way. So all we have to do is ask for patience. What does James 4:2 tell us? Anybody know what James 4:2 says? Cecily? Oh, it's up there. Okay. Wow, that was an easy pop quiz, wasn't it? It says you have not because you didn't ask for it. Is it that simple? Is it really that simple? You see, I know we often think I should try harder. I should try harder. And when I look at patience, we think of all of the supernatural gifts of healing and prophecy and all of those things. I think of patience, Elder Caskey, as a supernatural gift from God. You know why I feel it's supernatural? Because most of us don't have it. And when we get it, we don't keep it as long. I mean, we get the Holy Ghost, we keep it a lifetime. We get patience, we have it for a few minutes and it's gone. But you see, perhaps we don't have patience at times like this when we need it the most, simply because we just didn't ask God to give it to us. Good news, no matter how many times I blow it and forget to pray for it, it's never too late. If we truly want what is of God and what is of Him, all I have to do is say, God, I'm stressed out right now and I could use some patience. God's not looking to judge your prayer. He's not looking to judge how you ask for it. You don't have to eloquently sit down and beg God for things. Simply ask. God, would you give me patience today? Would you give me patience within the next hour? I've got a lot of things I'm going to have to deal with that I don't know that I'm quite prepared to deal with it. So, Lord, just grant me the patience. And then we covered this a little bit on Wednesday evening, John 13:35. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We need to pray for patience, ask for patience, and we need to pray for a greater love. You know what happens when you love someone more than you did before? When Matt and Brooke were dating and Matt loved Brooke and Brooke loved Matt, I mean, they thought that they, what causes your love to grow is when you begin to gain a greater understanding of that other person, doesn't it? Do we got to teach you guys how to date again? You get what I just said? We pray for greater love so that we can love one another and understand, and with that loving one another, we understand one another a bit better. Paul, in his writings to the church in Corinth, it's interesting that Paul begins the list of love's attributes when we look at this. 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, Love is patient. Now, they don't have the verse up there, the version that I have. I apologize for that. But it says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast, and it's not arrogant. This makes total sense, because when someone who loves us unleashes their impatience upon us, kind of takes us back a little bit, doesn't it? We love our husband, love our wife, love our children. They unleash, they kind of have a meltdown, and it kind of takes us back. And in the process of us being taken back a little bit, we don't perhaps feel as loved or as cared for. What happens to our children, moms and dads, when we scold them? The first thing they say is, "You don't love me anymore." No, it's not that I don't love you anymore. Love is patient. So if love is patient, then the greater your love, then the greater your patience. So if we ask God to increase our love during all of this quarantine, during all of this holiday season, and we allow Him to increase our impatience or our patience along with it. So we have to ask God, "Lord, I need patience. Would you just grant me patience?" And then we need to pray, say, "God, I have to go to my mother-in-law's house on Christmas Day. Lord, I need a greater love and understanding." I'm just kind of making light a little bit of some of this, but just understand, this is how we think sometimes. This is our process. And then point number three I'd like to make here is, when the song says you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, sometimes we have to think. Just listen here, okay? Think before we speak. Now, this one is so huge right now. It may not get too funny or laughing in here, but Proverbs 17:27 wisely says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." I have heard more, I'm just going to say it, I've heard more stupid things said in the past month than I've heard in most of my previous lifetime. Why? Because people are no longer exercising wisdom before they open up their mouths and speak. You know, if just like patience, all we got to do is ask for it. Scripture tells me that if I want wisdom, all I have to do is just ask God for it. I don't have to fill out some kind of a long piece of paper and send it in and wait for a reply from God on whether or not He's going to grant me wisdom. I've got to know when to hold out. I got to know when to shut up. Listen, church, I've been asked this more times lately than anything else, and it goes like this. What's the church's position on this? I don't care. I don't care if you get a vaccination. I'm just going to tell you. If you want to take a vaccination, then you take it. If you don't want to take it, then that's fine with me. I don't care. I don't care if you eat genetically modified foods. I don't believe they're of the devil. I don't care if you don't eat them. Listen, we got into a little discussion not too long ago about genetically modified foods. You're looking at a guy that's eaten Twinkies for years. I told one brother, "I've got so many Twinkies in me and so many preservatives. When I die 10,000 years from now, if you open up my coffin, I'll be smiling at you." You see, we get all upset about the, what's the church's position? You know, I think about this. I've eaten Twinkies, those cute little peeps that you get around Christmas time. How many of you love those? You ever see the process and how they make those? What goes into all of those things? And I love McDonald's McRibs, okay? They're in right now. You can go get a McRib. Right now. I mean, they're in season. I love them. I have no idea what's in it. I'm just telling you. So if I'm going to get all worried about eating GMO modified foods, I done blowed it by having a McRib and McNuggets and a Coca-Cola. Now, I'm not making fun of you if that's, but listen, we have to be careful because sometimes we start taking personal preferences and teaching and preaching them as biblical doctrine, and that's where we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. Is the vaccine the Antichrist, the mark of the beast? I got no idea. Got no idea. I just know this. If they give it to me in my arm, obviously it's not, because the Bible says it's my hand or my forehead. It's really that simple. People say, oh, they're going to track us with it. How many of you brought your cell phone to church? Duh. I get a report every month because I ask for it. Google tells me where I've been all month long. Last month or this year so far, I've almost traveled the globe twice. Put a lot of miles on. Been a lot of different places, a lot of different cities, a lot of different restaurants. I'm just curious as to where all I go and where all I spend my time. The Antichrist, listen, he could look for me all he wants to look for me. I don't really care because I just kind of plan on being at my mansion in heaven. So, you know. So, patience, patience, patience. Sometimes also one thing that we struggle with, and we just went through the Thanksgiving season, and something that helps with patience is to try a little thankfulness. A little thankfulness, even in the middle of this whole big mess that we call COVID. Many of the things we're currently impatient with are not really people related. We take it out on people because it's really hard. You know, you can kick the chair only so many times and it hurts too bad to kick it again. Because the chair doesn't say, ouch. So many things that we're impatient with, we take it out on people. We make it people related, but it's really a lot to do with our circumstances. We're waiting to send the kids back to school or waiting for the weather to change. And unlike with people who we at least can attempt to change, there's nothing we can do to change the weather. There's nothing we can do to change the circumstance or the current situation that we're in. We have to understand not one person here can fix this mess. You know why we can't fix it? Because it's a God situation. It's a God thing. This is, and the only way that it can get fixed is when God says, okay, I want to take care of this now. So understanding that is, I find the best thing to do is just look for ways to be thankful. All of this mess, I can thank God that I've been, all the things that I've been able to accomplish. You know, sometimes being stuck at home isn't always a bad thing. I looked around me this year and I talked with my wife and I said, you know, Lois, I said, all of these things we've been trying to get done, we've been working on for 5 and 6 years. And you know what? This year, we got almost all of them done. Why? Because I just decided that, you know what? I'm just going to be thankful. If I got to be stuck at home, then let's do something about it. Let's do something about it. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that I can get up every morning. I go, I build a fire, and I look outside, and I see all the birds around the bird feeder. Boy, God has created some beautiful birds. Do you know that? You know what I miss so much about winter is I miss the chirping of the birds. You got the windows open, and in the spring you can hear them, in the summer. But in the wintertime it gets silent. But when you got a bird feeder in your backyard, boy, they're out there all day long, just chirping away, talking. I'm thankful. You see, I've made a conscious choice to opt for gratitude and being thankful. And having it, gratitude and being thankful begins to change my outlook, and it's helped me to find a little bit more patience. After all, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 does say, give thanks in all things. Give thanks in every circumstance. Give thanks in the middle of a COVID pandemic. Give thanks because you have to work at home every day. Give thanks because you get to see your wife and your children more than you've ever got to. Give thanks in all things. Does it try your patience? Yes, it does. But then I just pray for patience. Ask God. And last thing I want to cover this morning is, the biggest person sometimes we struggle with is might be our spouse. But I think I aggravate myself more. Can I just be really transparent here? I'm one of the dumbest guys that I've ever met. You laugh about that. We laugh about that. But how many times have you been working on something and you just royally mess it up and you're like, how dumb can you be? You knew it. I have messed up some of the same things over and over and over again. You think after a while I would learn. And you feel the same way. We get upset at ourselves. We cut ourselves very little slack. So point number 5 is give yourself grace. Be patient with you. If you're not patient with you, it's gonna affect everything around you. It's gonna affect everyone around you. So I'll be the first to say I frustrate me more than anyone else does. My dumb actions at times, silly, stupid mistakes, aggravate me much more than anybody else's mistakes. We're talking about surviving here. We're talking about surviving through this pandemic, through this holiday. In my patience, possess me, my soul. That's pretty, pretty, pretty powerful. That means that my own soul is resting in my ability to possess my own patience. So listen to me. I know this is not a Sunday morning evangelistic Holy Ghost foot stomping type of message this morning. But church, this is life. This is real. And this is where we are living, right here and right now. If our musicians can come, you can stand. You see, I've seen people change. People I never thought would act the way they're acting. Things that used to bother us or not even bother us before frustrate us to no end now. Sometimes we don't have any idea as to how our physical and our emotional selves, how we're going to respond. But when we do respond, we disappoint ourselves in our response. You see, I'm working very diligently. I'm giving grace when I'm upset with myself as well as those I'm living with and those around me. To see at the speed of which life has changed. Things have changed and shifted so very quickly. The vast number of things that we've had to adapt to over the last few months is just unprecedented. And one thing we have to understand is, as husbands, fathers, having children, all of your children respond and react differently. Just as you, as a brother, having a brother or sister in your own family. I look at how I respond to things and how John responded to things and how Steve responded to things. We're all different. I have one daughter, Lana. I don't have a whole lot to compare her to. I look at Carl and Kyle and Bryce. I can tell they're all Grants. I can tell they're all Manleys, but they're all vastly different, and they all respond differently. You see, every one of us, we all may be faced with the same situation, or the same circumstances may be thrust upon us, but we all respond different. So perhaps you've noticed yourself today maybe just adapting slower than others. One thing I've learned in life, at phases and times of my life, I've adapted more quickly at certain times and I've struggled to adapt at other times. Not everyone has the ability to change like right now. And to top it off, what was expected yesterday may be totally irrelevant today. I'm learning to say that, it's okay. We got this project we got to get done, Pastor. Yeah, I know, I understand. I want to get it done too, but it's okay. It's okay. You see, if God is willing to give me grace and mercy in all of my boo-boos, boy, then I ought to be able to give my brother and sister as much grace that God has given to me and as much mercy. I keep thinking about how consistently patient that God is with me. I love Psalms 103. Verse 13 and 14, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. So, church, as we enter into this holiday season and into whatever lies beyond, who was the great prophet that said to infinity and beyond? That was Buzz Lightyear. Little joke there. As we pursue this holiday, whatever lies beyond, let's pursue it with patience that looks like Jesus Christ in this time of new normal. Oh, we're seeking to have the old as the old traditions, but that seemingly they're being stripped away in this holiday season. We need to learn to accept that life, this life, if I look at it, in an eternal perspective, it was never really in my control in the first place. So you need patience this morning. Just gotta ask. Just gotta ask. It's that simple. So as our praise team begins to sing, I want to open up this altar this morning. If you're kind of at your wit's end, life is just gnawing you up, chewing you up, spitting you up. Let's just start back with some basics and say, you know what, God? I need some patience, Lord. I need some love. I need to think, Lord, before I really open up my mouth sometimes and speak. And God, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. God, grant me patience with myself.
Yeah.
Lord, again, church, thank you so very much. Just remember, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Love you all. If I don't see some of you, you may be here on Thursday. We have our Christmas Eve service Thursday evening at 5 o'clock. And so good to see you all today. And God bless you all. Love each and every one of you. And if I don't see you before Christmas, have a great Christmas. And we'll be back after Christmas, looking at 2021. Yes. I'm excited even just to say 2021. 2020 was kind of like the Ford Edsel. Never quite lived up to expectation. Love you all. God bless you. We will see you soon.